Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The fear. Fear of missing out. Fear of going out. Fear of flying. Fear of dying. Imposter syndrome. Spiders. Pipes from Ghostwatch. Dolls with buttons for eyes.
We're all scared of something. But what are you scared of? Join me, Sarah Morgan, for The Fear, a podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror.
The secret lemonade drinker adverts. Geese. That time on Biker Grove when Ag McPartlin got shot in the face with a paintball.
In each episode, I interview funny, interesting people I like, people like Phil Jupitus, Alice Lowe, Richard Osman, Riley Silverman, and Danielle Ward, about their biggest fears in a judgment-free environment. It is spooktacular.
The Fear.
And remember, do have nightmares because they're an entirely appropriate response to the horrors of modern living.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I'm Mark Ames.
And I'm Julia Raceye.
And over the next 4 months, we'll be taking you through the highs and lows of Strictly Come Dancing. All the winners.
The losers.
The huge name stars and the other ones.
The inevitable relationship traumas.
The gags.
The pitiful gags.
The awful, awful gags. The wonderful outfits.
The complex structure of bets that could leave you better off by £1 million.
And everything that happens both on and off the dance floor.
It's the curse of Strictly.
Keep listening, subscribing, telling your friends, and dancing!
Appalling.
It's absolutely awful. Hello, and welcome to The Curse of Strictly. Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, it's a shocker. Oh, it is a horrific shocker. Not just like because it's Halloween. It's because there's been a disaster. There has been good news, though, and it's good news for this podcast, because joining us today, while Julia is away on holiday, the comedy writer and the host of the Fear podcast, Sarah Morgan. Sarah, hello and welcome to The Curse of Strictly.
Halloween.
This is why we've got you. Absolutely cast iron gold bits.
Horror puns. Julia jumped off a table in rehearsal, I think. She's done her knee in. So I've been bust in last minute. I barely watched the show. I'm just going to be massive amounts of enthusiasm, and I hopefully a lady footballer will shout at me in an exciting way to make me better.
It was Halloween special last night.
Spooktacular. You can say it, Mark.
There are so many puns that keep coming in that you have to sort of say, if we do all the puns, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to bring you in because I don't know anyone who likes Halloween more than you. Your podcast is all about celebrating the spooky and the scary with funny people.
Absolutely.
And I want you to do it today with an unfunny person, i.e. me. So we're gonna have some fun. What did you think of Strictly? You're not a regular viewer.
I'm not a regular viewer, but I'm absolutely not anti it in any way. I love the idea of it. I love it as being a kind of background radiation in my life. My child is not quite the right age to watch it, and I can't wait until she is because I know I'll really enjoy it. It's a time management thing. It's just a background thing in my life. I like the idea of it, and I love that I know sort of about it a bit vaguely. Like, I like that I know it's a show where everyone just has affairs for no reason.
That's
like,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Do you remember on Channel 4 they had The Jump?
Yes, the skiing program.
And everyone would go on that knowing that you would go on it and like break your knees.
You would be shattered.
And they still just kept going, like they couldn't help it. Like they're on an escalator to nowhere. You have to go on The Jump. And that's what I like the idea that Strictly is thing. You go on, you're definitely going to break your vows of monogamy. But you must still go on. You must relentlessly get it.
We've talked about this on one of the other shows. Yeah. And I've never mentioned the person's name. But I know someone who knew someone who went on.
Yeah.
And they went on specifically because they wanted an end to their marriage but didn't want to have to tell their partner. Which is, and it didn't work for them. Unfortunately, they were eliminated too early. This show, very Halloween-y.
And very Halloween-y. Well, you say that.
Well, in parts it was Halloween-y. It's a curate's Halloween egg.
Alice in Wonderland, what are we even doing here?
Yeah, I mean, they worked quite hard not to do the default Halloween costume of sexy nurse, sexy doctor, sexy lupus specialist.
It's amazing. You can do sexy Morticia Adams, which I had no idea you could make sexy. Yes. But there you go. That happened.
Very true.
And the sexy zombie got kicked out. So,
I mean, the big shock news of this is that, Catherine Tilsley and Johannes, and we are huge, huge fans of Johannes on the show, they were not saved by the judges. In fact, Shirley made the casting vote and kicked out Catherine over Mike Bushell, which...
Yes.
Now, I had my problems with Catherine, and the main one I had is that they didn't Halloween enough. It's that thing of going, we're going to be a zombie bride and a zombie groom. And they weren't. They were just generic background artists in, like,
it was very,
a Phantom of the Opera movie.
Yeah, it was very, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday when you realise you're going to go to, like, the Halloween Spooktacular down Wetherspoons. And so you start going to, like, Camden Masquerade and there's nothing left. So you're like, I could be a sexy crayon or I could get some Poundland sort of fake cobwebs and just sort of just stick my tits together. Oh, sorry, I swore. And shove my boobs together in a corset and that'll sort of do, I guess.
I think the funny thing about that is, for me, it's a bit like the notion of fancy dress for... especially young people who are still trying to look sexually exciting. And so it's a bit like a moon party in Phuket or whatever, where they've sort of gone, I'm in fancy dress, and you go, you've literally just stuck two little diamonds on your forehead.
Yeah.
That is not fancy dress.
No.
And they didn't try hard enough. So I do feel like in some way, watching that, I was so angry that my anger managed to infect the nation.
Yeah, and, like a zombie.
And Catherine has gone. It is worth saying this is a terrible decision. We've talked about her on the show a fair bit because she never, ever seemed to be reaching the potential that she looked like from the stills. When you see her in a still dancing, you go, wow, she must be really good. And you see her in the actual dances and she's a little bit soft and like she's not quite got it. But even so, I think it's crazy that they take out someone who had the potential to get exponentially better and keep in Mike, who is continually banging against the ceiling. Annoyingly, he had a good dance this week. I know that the costume left a lot to be desired, but we will get to that.
Yes.
But I feel for her. She's also been one of those people who she's been very good in the VTs and she's been really bubbly and warm, and she has that I'm so thrilled to be here that seems really genuine. And I don't think she was expecting this to happen, but this is becoming a little bit of a Strictly of shock exits. And not for the best.
Yeah, it's a hell of a shocking week for Halloween week. It was a bloodbath as well, like just everyone dropping out left, right and center. It was dramas. It's a great one to come in as a newbie. I'm like, oh my god, is it always like this? Bad horror puns.
It's basically Final Destination in real life, where they all just get their legs shattered. I mean, the opening, they set in a sort of museum.
Well, it was Night of the Museum, famous horror classic Night of the Museum with Ben Stiller and Ricky Gervais, I think.
Yes, isn't it? I think, like, it is.
Yeah, it's funny that no one was doing Ricky Gervais in the background. They could have done the dance. Oh, why didn't that happen? But yeah, it was a weird theme. I mean, I liked the Natural History Museum opener. That was good.
Yeah.
And then, but yes, it was an odd, it was just, let's get people in lots of different costumes. Again, they probably ran out of time when they had to get a few Smithies, Civil War reenactment uniforms, sort of make do.
That opening thing.
Someone wrapped up in toilet paper like a mummy.
I know. So when they cut back to the studio, they have the almost like the dioramas from the museum, the waxwork dioramas, which I don't think exist in this country particularly. It's sort of a 1960s American idea.
Yeah.
But the dioramas come to life and begin dancing in the same way that they dance every week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There was a diorama. I suppose they were supposed to be Egyptian mummies. But
yes,
they were horror.
Famously frightening Egyptians. I mean, mummies, yes, I'll give you.
I know, that was the bit for me where it was a bit horror, and then the others are like, but you're just like a
Cleopatra.
Or like Henry V's page boy. and having the mummies in it was like, oh yeah, that's horror. No, also museums. I found that quite difficult to get my head around.
It was a high concept that was done, I think in a rush. But enthusiastically.
And it is worth saying, those bits where they take the dancers and the professionals out to do these sorts of bits, they are like the opening 5 minutes of pornographic films from the 90s, where the acting and the dress and the costumes, it's all so sort of excruciating.
Oh, you're right. The build, because there's a sort of kind of, God bless you, just take your clothes off. there's a plumber, there's pizza, it's fine.
I mean, funnily enough, normally, there's actually far more sex in Strictly than there is in any pornographic film you'd see.
But not this year, apparently.
No. It was only when they showed the museum that I was like, I sort of haven't really thought of it, but the Natural History Museum, which I've always loved, is basically a museum celebrating animal death.
Yeah.
And where there's just bodies
skeletons.
Everywhere.
It's skeletons. A lot of skeletons everywhere. And that would, if the whale had come come to life and done a little dance. Or if they'd done the Horniman Museum and had the big overstuffed walrus
I'd have liked to have seen that.
That is a niche reference.
There was a bit as well where it seemed like there's been, a slight attempt this year to strip out some of the groansome puns that they used to do. Tess is not a great deliverer of comic material.
I think that's probably when I watched it more was the Brucey years, when there would just be an eggy joke and no one would laugh. And now it's like one of the girls does an eggy joke and the other one titters. And I think that's women supporting women. It's showing comedy's evolving. It's great.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, you've worked on countless TV shows. Mm-hmm. You will know that if a joke is dying, the best thing you can do is just have someone go, a nice one.
Yeah, supportive.
Because you're telling the audience, in a way, this is just the mechanics and it doesn't matter that it failed. Yeah. When they used to do it with Bruce Forsyth, where he'd round on the audience and go, I mean, come on, are you not going to laugh at that? Berating them.
He'd get cross and everyone would ignore him and it was like a sort of Viking funeral. He'd be slowly pushed out to die in the middle of a lake and a shiny floor.
They had a case in the museum that just said on it, a case of British fossils. And I thought, well, this is the joke, isn't it? It's going to be, you know, it'll be Anton or it'll be, you know, it'll be Tess. It'll be fun. No.
The actual X Factor.
I would love to see Strictly really take pot shots at other shows. I think it'd be really cool. But it shows they've slightly lost their nerve with this. Let's do a joke. They're now just doing setups and then just going, actually, no, just move on.
Well, I think as well, the BBC, God bless them, they're so self-flagellating, whatever. They're masochists and I love the BBC very much. They're my employers and I love them very much, but they are a bit like an uncle who's into S&M and has forgotten his safe word. When they're so terrified that someone's going to write in and go, witchcraft on the BBC on my life. So they picked a weird Ben Stiller family film to do, and then half the stuff wasn't about the occult, wasn't about witchy stuff. It was like, no, we're going to just do family friendly.
What's really funny is I think it took a number of years for Strictly to actually sort of go, we do a Halloween special. And they'd had some bits around this where they'd do a spooky dance. So it would be like to the Addams Family theme. Mm. And that would be part of just the general show. And I think the makeup and the costume people and the dancers who were doing the choreography began going, we like doing these spooky ones. You get to do a bit more with it and have a bit more fun. And so Strictly then, you know, eventually, it was a slow process, but they had the one-off Halloween special each year. And I really remember the first one because I was thinking, I hope they pull the trigger on this. The BBC, as you say, has been very nervous about Halloween, about celebrating
it. Since Ghostwatch killed all those people.
Since Ghostwatch, yeah.
It did. <it's,
laughs> I think it did lead to one death. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it actually did.
Who was so frightened of Mr. Pipes. But
I've got goosebumps talking about Ghostwatch. They should have watched it on Pipes. Just come on in a curtain.
Really niche references.
Sorry. Again, not as niche as a Netflix
today
show.
I'll be dancing to the song I Had Emmerich by the Enfield Poltergeists. you can go on Google.
Wicker Man, that would have been good. Someone come on as naked Brett Eklund and bang against a wall.
That would be great.
Which is actually a dancer dressed as a wall.
Oh, amazing. And then at the end, you've got Tess being burnt at the stake. Absolutely brilliant. I do think that the BBC, by doing Strictly as a Halloween thing, they really did push that, along with the supermarkets, the idea that we can have Halloween back.
Yeah.
Because I think for a lot of people, you forget that 10 years ago, Halloween just... You'd get a couple of rough kids come round, but that was more to case out your house on the one night of the year where they thought they could get away with it.
Yeah, I think we live in times now where we're like slightly like children in the UK, I think, where we need a holiday every 5 minutes, like a party excuse every 5 minutes. And there was always a lull on the run-up to Christmas. Mm. We had summer, which was just in itself fun, and then there was a just big lull. And they were like, well, what about Halloween and Poundland? You know, we live in times where you can buy any amount of fun plastic crap for a quid and it's all the shops are suddenly filled with chocolate eyeballs and repackaged like Chew-Its as like Spook-Its or whatever. Creepy Peepers. It's just rebadged Chew-Its, you fool. So on the one hand, I hate the landfillness of it. On the other hand, I do like that Goth Christmas feels a lot more of a big deal than it used to as a Halloween enthusiast.
You got the opening credits, all very good outcome, the judges. They're all dressed in costumes, which I
like. I don't like a half-assed costume. I don't like it when they just wear like a black dress or, you know, with a bit more eye makeup than normal.
Yeah, that's true. Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the background artists in, which include Christopher Biggins in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah,
where you don't quite know what they are. They're just like a bit odd.
Yeah.
And the oddness is not quite good enough. Oh, if you were like one of the judges, you'd be like, oh, this is the one time of the year where I get the BBC to pay for me to have the best costume in the world. I would be flapping out like a bat. On cables. I would be over the moon, a huge, giant, anatomically correct bat. That's all I'd have. And instead, they're just like, I'll put some dark coal.
Well, it's again, it's got that feeling of like, a not really sure if the Halloween party's going to be well attended or not. So yeah. You wear your best black dress and understand you could probably take the makeup off on the tube if you had to.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, nowhere did you see that better. There was a little bit where they cut to the people who sing the numbers, and I think two of them had makeup. One of them was just sort of like normal, and yeah. The other had a little cheap plastic cape on. And all of them looked like they'd been told, you know, oh, no, it's a fancy dress party. And someone's gone, well, I've got a pen.
Yeah.
So one of them just had a cut on their head, like a red slash, yeah. And the other one sort of had a black eye. And it did look like they'd just been fighting. Any other night of the year, you'd see that. You'd just go, well, that's an image that's never going to go away. I do like the paddles in the shapes of ghosts.
That was nice. That was a nice touch. Again, that felt very Poundland. I imagine they'll probably do those next year.
Yes,
very Poundland Halloween, that was.
And as you mentioned, I mean, there was a bit of a sort of nightmare horror scenario for the production side of it this week, which was that... Will had a knee injury. He actually jumped off a table earlier in the day, and he kept his legs straight. And hearing
never
that,
keep your legs straight.
Oh, just hearing that, it made the skin on my back crawl. Just
that's the real fear,
isn't it? Isn't it?
It's surrounded by spooky. I mean, I wish he'd been in costume, because that would have been amazing if he'd been dressed as a skeleton and then just like hit the deck, and there was like a new bone sticking
there's
out.
Extra bones in this costume. The tested a bit, which was really funny as well. Yeah. So the po-facedness of it really made me laugh. Now, Strictly Come Dancing has no rules, and if you basically don't like, if you're injured, you can either go, well, they're out of the competition, or you go, they'll be back next week.
Yeah.
And Tess did a little line. She went, under the rules of Strictly Come Dancing, at this stage in the competition, Will has been given a bye. And it's at this stage. I mean, it's nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
I also like the wizardy wording of he's been given a bye. Like, it's really Harry Potter. Like, like, oh, well, yes, of course, if there's a term for it.
Yes.
If there's a special wording.
He's been given a dancing exeat.
It sounds like Moses wrote it. there's official language involved. And it's a bye, obviously.
It was a nightmare for them because another dancer as well, Neil, who dances with Alex Scott, he was also injured earlier on. So, instepped Kevin Clifton, who made the best of his cameo. I really enjoyed seeing how delighted he was to be back.
This is the Ghostbusters dance
in
the legally dissimilar Ghostbusters costumes. Again, someone, I'm not even going to say Smithies, it's not good enough, it's Leg Avenue level of off-brand Ghostbuster costume where it's just like spook blasters.
Do you know, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the real appeals of the Strictly Come Dancing whole week, is you just go, if you were American, you'd be watching the American version of Dancing with the Stars, and it would be like a Hollywood production.
Yeah.
And when you watch the British one, you could probably recreate it pretty much as they've done on screen if you were at home, had £10 and 45 minutes. Just amazing.
Some Poundland glitter board that you cut into the shape of a legally dissimilar ghost. But I live for, this is just a sidebar, but I live for an off-brand Halloween costume. So it made me really happy. You know, my favourite one, I think, we did this on the Veer episode we just recorded with Danielle Ward and David Reed. We did a quiz, which was guess what the legally dissimilar Halloween costume I'm describing is. Where Prince would be purple pop star or whatever. And my favourite one was, there's two. One is sexy colour block cube.
What's a colour block cube?
What do you think that Halloween costume?
Sexy colour block cube.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a sexy Rubik's cube.
Oh, my God.
And the other one
is it sexy? Just because it's a woman shape when a woman puts it
on. Because a lady can wear it and be sexy.
That is sexy.
And one-eyed master's helper.
One-eyed master's helper?
I'll give you a clue. It's a yellow costume.
Who's got one eye and is yellow?
And helps masters.
Oh, it's a Minion trademark copyright registered.
DreamWorks not letting you near that. One-eyed master helper, yellow coat. Anyway, sorry.
Dressed as a one-eyed master helper.
Coming on to Dance to Happy from Pharrell.
Let's have a quick look at the runners and riders. We'll plough on through. As you can, I'm sorry as well. I don't think since I've done an episode of this podcast, I haven't had a cold. It's just going through various different.
Strictly.
This is. I mean, doctors will study this because if I'm alive by the end, it will be a miracle. They'll listen to each of the inflections as we go through, try and work out what I've got. The first dance was Emma Barton and Anton Dead Dubek. They had a funny thing where they put occasionally in the dancers' names, they'd put terrifying, you know, terrifying Tony.
What they wanted to do, you can tell there was a production meeting. Again, telly inside the chat here. There was clearly a production meeting where they went, do you know what we should do? We should do like Simpsons, Treehouse of Horror. We'll give them all spooky pun names.
And they did that for the credits as well.
Oh, right.
On everyone apart from the exec producers who it was still regular. Because, don't mess around with us.
Yeah, then you do reach a point where you think, well, we do actually have to remind people of their actual real names. Mm. And they might, so Anton Ant Farm Murder Site or something would be, you know, Anton.
Alien Ant Farm Anton. And go, yeah, but that's just a band. It's not a horror. Okay.
I panicked.
The Anton of the Opera would have been good.
Oh, hang on. That's really good. Yeah, no, but let's go back. They should absolutely do that. Yeah, but yes, if you give someone an actual pun name, like, what's your Twitter handle? Mark, do you have a horror pun as your...
Do I? No, I haven't done one.
Oh,
I haven't done one.
I'm Scare a Hell Gorgon at the moment.
Nice. Yeah. I've been Dark Haynes and Brains, I think, over the years.
I mean, it's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is. It is good fun. This dance was the two of them playing a haunted pack of cards. And they said that like that was a horror trope, of course, a haunted pack of cards.
I think it might as well have been called Someone Else is Doing Alice in Wonderland, so we can't say what we thought we were doing.
Yes.
So instead, we're going to do Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
King and Queen from... It's absolutely Alice in Wonderland, isn't
it? Yeah, and they didn't make anything of that. Do you know what? That's only just suddenly connected with me that it is actually a thing, and so I shouldn't have mocked it. And
no,
I apologise.
No, because it's not spooky. Again,
no.
It's not a spooky...
Cards aren't frightening. I mean, I thought, well, is this like they were going to do tarot cards, but then they're like,
that's
no,
too
that's...
too occult for the BBC.
This is the BBC. You know, we don't allow Satan into the beam.
For balance, we may acknowledge... because that's the problem, is that... Because they're so all about balance. If you mention, like, Satanism or the occult, then you didn't have to do, like, let Cliff Richard on to read the Bible for 5 minutes. for balance, Jesus is good.
If I was the controller of the BBC, I would make the point of saying, look, we had about 20 years of Harry Secombe doing Highway, and there wasn't anything for the Satanists. So I think this one will let them have it.
Just bring on the Marquis de Sade.
Yes.
Anton de Beck as Anton LaVey.
Anton LaVey, the Church of Satan.
Yeah. That's what you should address as.
Well, coming up next is Emma and Anton. And of course, Anton is dressed as Anton LaVey, the Satanist. And of course, Emma Barton could be Jane Mansfield, who was a member of the Church of Satan at the time of her death.
And then her head could have come off. Yeah. It would have been great.
What a showstopper.
That could have come off on a wire.
Well, I mean, I did the choreography, we dance, and right at the end, I just sever her head with a windscreen. Amazing. 10!
10s across the board.
I loved it. I not the only person who lose a head over this dance. I thought Emma again, she's just once again not really overly crisp, and she should be nailing these sorts of ballroom dancing. This classic elegant, this is Anton's big thing through and through. And this one was, I don't know, it just seemed woolly around the edges. It really lacked a sense of attack. And I've been saying to Julia again and again, I know Julia hates me saying it, but I think that she is in a dangerous place, Emma Barton. And I think with Catherine Tilsley this week that you see her go, you begin to realise that Emma Barton, really, any week the axe could fall on her, because I just don't think she's bringing it.
I mean, yes, it was the first one, and obviously that's difficult, but nothing stuck with me apart from getting slightly confused about, well, so it's not Alice in Wonderland. What are you doing, love?
I like as well that Bruno, when he did his little speech, he just, you know, he's doing his summing up, and he said, no, I love history. And I was like, this, Bruno, is not history. This is a haunted pack of cards. Yeah. That's not historical. It was just a bit of a sort of flat dance for me. They got 5, 7, 8, and 8. Mm. I think the 8 seemed high and the 5 seemed low. But I think Emma's in a bit of a dangerous position because I think she's not making an impression. And the one thing that this shows at the moment is that anyone can go. And I think she was lucky in a way that her dance was so far away from the point where people voted, because I think people have forgotten all about it.
Oh, that's good. It's actually a safe place to be.
You can hide within that early bit, because by the end, people have forgotten about you. I think she's going to really struggle when they start having her dance in the middle point and she's not bringing it, and she'll find herself in that danger zone. The terms and conditions read by Anna Maxwell Martin.
That was mad.
Wasn't it? Not at all Halloween-y, but I was really pleased to see that the BBC, the previous people who have done it have been Jason Donovan and Tony Hadley. And I'm really pleased to see the BBC are like, Anna Maxwell Martin is as big a star as them. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
On great actors to actually do these sorts of T&Cs.
Yeah, and she threw herself into it. It was generally, oh, okay.
She was having a great time.
And then you could see there was an audience full of, I'm going to say, slightly more famous people.
Yeah.
Alan Carr.
Two of the girls from Corrie.
Yeah, she came bursting out of a bit of paper. She looked suitably nervous. like she was being respectful of the show, which is nice. Yeah. It meant a lot. There were stakes for her.
Yeah.
And she delivered the thing and it was, yeah, it was cute. And then there was like, just say one word. And she went, Tess? And it was like, yeah, you love this show and this is your favourite thing that's happened to you this week, Anna Maxwell Martin. Congratulations.
I love that thing of bringing on people who are, like Anna Maxwell Martin, you'd never think if you were in charge of Strictly Come Dancing, let's get Anna Maxwell Martin into the T's and C's. But the fact that she's there, and again, you say more famous people, but I love the fact they got her on and she was so excited to do it.
Yeah.
I love seeing genuinely excited people on telly.
Always.
It's so much better than someone sort of being funny or being arch or going, here we go. I thought she was brilliant.
There's enough stuff in the world for you to get on with if you don't like a thing.
Yeah.
So, like, why don't like Strictly? It's like, well, don't watch it. There's 8 billion options for you. It's not the 70s. It's not 3 channels.
No, that's true. Yeah. Funny enough, actually, that Anton thing where he had the black lipstick and the sort of, like, drawn on sort of card thing on his face, and they were moving very sort of like jerkily but like really asexually around a room. I was thinking that's what people in the 70s imagined that rich people in the 90s would be like, dancing in ballrooms and being very arch. It seemed very sort of just a nice throwback. Not talking of nice throwbacks, here is Viscountess Emma Weymouth dancing with Ali Ash. They did a Charleston, her best dance for a long time, this one. She got 6 from Craig, which seemed low, but then 3/8 to take her to 30. And this is the first time I think she's actually shown something different from what she's been doing in all the previous weeks.
I liked it a lot. And also, I don't know for certain what so the song A Little Party Never Killed Nobody, which doesn't sound like a Halloween-y anthem.
No.
But except for Killed, obviously.
That's it.
Oh, Killed.
It literally is a case of they go songs that say Killed, songs that say Skull, whatever it is, and they'll play them. That's They sort of did a Cluedo theme to it, which...
Again, legally dissimilar Cluedo. I don't think they ever used the word.
No, they didn't. Yeah.
They used...
please welcome the academic lavender colour. And,
oh, yeah, he did. Oh, he did spooky... He did speedy ageing makeup by painting his hair and his tash
white. And I love, again, that thing about what could be more frightening than ageing. They had this sort of like slight sort of Cluedo, as you say. I mean,
no one ever used the word Cluedo. Yeah. I did, because as soon as I saw them, Tess says, I'm like, they'll be referencing a board game. And then I thought, is she going to have to say other murder themed board games are available? I mean, probably, we don't know. Nightmare. That was a board game at one point.
Yeah, that Haunted House from the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
She has to bring them out, show you, try and remind you. But they did a really nice dance. I mean, they both seem really nice people. I have a problem with Emma Weymouth because she shouldn't really be on a show like this solely because she is married to the lineal owner of Longleat. And so when they were saying we need to find a haunted house, she said, well, I know a mansion where we could do this.
There's loads of dead lion ghosts in it. Didn't they kill all the lions? Is that right? Is it Longleat they killed all the lions?
I don't know. Wasn't that house?
Noel Edmonds killed an elephant. I think it was the same place. I might be getting my animal murders.
For the sake of legal, let us make it clear that nowhere has killed anything ever. But if I think there's some truth in it, Sarah, I'll wink at you now. So people will never know.
She should come on dressed as the ghost of a lion. But the one that dentist shot.
Yes.
And then she got sympathy.
That would have been good. There was that sense of going, look how fun she is, you know, taking us around her big house and it's all spooky and everything. But I was looking at it just going, that has not made me warm to her.
Yeah, they did the most haunted night vision thing. But and then she turned into a ghost.
I was like, the size of the house.
Yeah.
I just sort of left me a bit cold. I was like, you're getting to sort of dance on telly, even though that, you know, no one knew who you were.
There was a scandal this week, wasn't there? I know from reading Michael Hogan's roundup on the Telegraph. Hi, Hoax. There was a vote rigging scandal. Doesn't sound like a vote rigging scandal.
Oh.
Apparently, what they said to the people who work for her, the many people who work for her at Longleat, clearing
that's
up Lion Corp.
She's got essentially like an Irish family, except they're not her Irish family, they're her employees.
Yeah, and they apparently all got told to vote for her, which I think is normal. Wouldn't you just say to your people?
I suppose you would.
There was a scandal about it, like they'd been told they must vote for.
I suppose if you said it, if you said it to people at Corrie, because you were on Corrie, can you all vote for me? They'd say, yeah, but they still have free choice. But when it's employees and they pay your thing and you say, you need to go and vote.
It did remind me a little bit of in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where Veruca Salt's dad makes all the women who work in his peanut factory shell chocolate bars to find his daughter a golden ticket. They're just a vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Veruca
Salt going, I want to win Strictly. All right, darling, I'll get the staff to vote for you. Whatever you want, princess.
There was a thing. I mean, I thought she did a really good dance this week, and I don't think she's been as good as this. All her dances have been pretty good. And this one just showed a different side to her where she was better at the acting and selling it. I thought she was really good
so
at that.
So much of it is that, selling a dance. I don't know a lot about the moves. I can tell when someone's good or not. But also, it's in if their face is, you can do a lot with it. You can pull off a lot with a face. You can roll a turd in glitter.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. Mm. And there are some people who I think their acting is so good that actually you realise how important it is. You know, I think there's no difference between Catherine Tilsley and Emma Barton in the terms of their ability to dance. Mm. But Emma is better at doing the acting by a considerable margin. And she is really getting that across. And I thought this was a good one for Emma Weymouth. And she, the other thing that was good for her is that Craig really, he was very unfair to her about the dance. He said it was entirely lacking in energy. And she suddenly looked like she was going to burst into tears. I think of all the things you could have said about that dance, you couldn't really say that she didn't try really hard and it wasn't full of energy. It was non-stop. I thought that's going to buy her a bit of public goodwill as well. Oh, I don't think she needs it. I mean, it's only me who really dislikes her. And I don't dislike her. I dislike the system that allows her to be rewarded for the person she decided to marry, who also didn't really earn his own money.
In this day and age, I think that's a good enough hill to die on.
I agree. Chris and Karen came next. Now, Chris Ramsey, we've talked again and again on this show about how the judges seem to have a vendetta against him, saying he is not good. And you see him and he comes out and he's really decent and they really consistently undermark him. This was the first week where I actually agreed with the judges. I thought he was he didn't have a great week. You could see his limitations coming through.
Yeah, it was a bit orcs, wasn't it? There was a bit of a... when he did some crotch stuff...
Yeah.
I think if you have to do something, you know, as a performer, people are asked to do things that they're a bit uncomfortable with. You have to just throw yourself into it 1,000,000%. You can't just point your crotch at some judges and then go, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Oh, God, it's my crotch. I'm so sorry. And then back out because it's creepier.
I didn't want to do it.
It's like getting one ball out. Can I say that?
I also think there's a part of me that Karen must have seen him do that in rehearsal 30 times and just gone, that looks awful, and going, yeah, but it's staying in. Don't leave it in. Take it out, because it was, as you say...
I mean, don't take it out.
But... No, keep it away. Yeah. Keep it back. They were dressed as dead French aristocrats. The best sort of aristocrat.
I know how political this was, Mark. It's like Romaniacs or something.
He was very stiff. But I thought if he'd been a proper zombie, you could have incorporated his stiffness into the dance.
Oh, God.
But instead, he was being a sexy zombie, and the stiffness wasn't to do with being a zombie. It was to do... with being Chris Ramsey the dancer.
And again, they did Backstreet's Back, which is not a Halloween song, but there's a spooky video.
It's funny, isn't it? It's a Halloween song, and we know it's nothing to do with Halloween, but we all accept, yes, it's a Halloween-y
it's like
song.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Power of Love, not a Christmas song, but the video set at Christmas.
Yeah.
This has a Halloween video.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cultural links that you have to do to make this a spooky event.
If you listened objectively to Backstreet's Back, you would go, why does everyone think about the living dead when they hear this? Yeah. It doesn't...
Ding, 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 ding. I mean, that's
here they come. Oh. Here they come over the hill. What are you talking about, Dad? I think this is about, like, just a band returning. Nope, nope. About the eternal power of a hunger for brains. they got 23, very low marks. I really, really thought that they would end up in the dance-off against Mike Bushell, and I thought that probably Chris and Karen would go. Bad news for me, I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but I'm very obsessed with Karen. I like her futuristic hair, and I think she's lovely. If she's listening, I send my letters to your agent. You can read them at your leisure.
It's got very close in this booth. I feel uncomfortable.
they're all handwritten because that's the kind of guy I am, very thoughtful. Number four, Saffron and...
Your local WH has run out of green ink, hasn't it?
I use cat's blood. It's cheap.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before. These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Suppose Martin Thursday bashing her head like this.
You can't tell me what to do! You ain't my mother!
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up with a novel on the top.
I think I'm like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at Box Delights Pod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Big Owl.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
AJ Prowling Pritchard, and they did a jive. 3/8 and a 9. She absolutely knocked this out of the park. She was dressed as Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which is that a thing round
again?
Britain?
It's one of those so many multi-layered things where we had the TV version, the American TV version with the Clarissa Explains It All lady, and that was great.
Yep.
Then Netflix rebooted it very recently,
right?
And it's like the kind of sexy teenage reboot where there's boobs and swears, but also a talking cat. I don't even think there's a talking cat in it. Satan's in it, I think. Anyway, so she's not dressed as the Netflix one, which is the one that the kids are going to. She's dressed as the cartoon character.
Right.
I don't know what he's meant to be. He looks like a puppet.
It's like he had that thing of going, I will be dressed up, but I'm going to dress up as how I was dressed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
I'm a murderer because they look like anyone.
Handsome men are the very worst at fancy dress because they cannot be bothered and nobody then says, well, you can't come in. They just, you know. So he's dressed as some other man.
Yeah.
Basically.
Look, I've got a plaid shirt. I'm Dave Gorman. What? It's not enough.
But they came out and they're young people. They have a lot of energy.
They did have a lot of energy.
They hoofed through that. They really have improved in the last couple of weeks. They've found a sort of a bit that they're very good at, which is just going hell for leather. Oddly, she seems almost to be getting taller. And I was looking at this thinking, well, it's like she's become so good at dancing that she's growing. And I realise what it is now. It's that she's so good at dancing, she's done it enough times that they can actually increase the height of her heel.
Yeah.
So she's able to move in those heels. I mean, how people walk in them, I don't know. The idea of doing that in them.
As a tall with large feet and a very high centre of gravity, I am terrible in heels. So I spend a lot of time watching footwear on Strictly because I think, they can move in those shoes. I must be able to. I'm going to go down a dance shop and get myself some like size 8s.
I look at those shoes and I looked at the ones she had on just because I was like, oh, that's the height thing.
Mm.
And I mean, I've put on high heels over the years when you do that thing of going, what's it like? And every single time I've gone, well, I almost broke my ankle within 2 seconds.
The secret to wearing high heels. Eddie Izzard once pointed out the secret to sword swallowing, which is you just learn to swallow a sword. There isn't a trick to it. You just keep sticking swords in your neck and hope you don't die.
Yeah.
And that's the secret to heels. They really hurt. Just hurt.
Yeah.
You'll get used to the pain, but they don't.
There isn't a mad secret. It's sort of mad that we get rid of high heels. Let's get rid of them. We don't need them anymore.
It's the most,
unless you want them, in which case you can have them.
If you like, some people, low centre of gravity, don't find them a problem. I'm fully on board with that. But it's the most famous quote about dancing, isn't it? Ginger Rogers did everything that Fred Astaire did, but backwards and in high heels.
Yeah, amazing.
It's like all feminism.
It's like going, here's a dance to learn, but you have to do it on these two masonry nails.
Yeah.
Right, that's harder. Yeah, much harder. Yeah. Almost impossible.
Yeah.
And talking of almost impossible, the idea that Mike Bushell is still in this competition after years. Now, when he needs to, he turns in a performance that saves him. There's been two times when I was absolutely, this is his week, he can't go any further. And then he turns in a dance that you go, he's done it again.
What was it, though? It was Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
So I didn't know who he was. I don't watch BBC News. I didn't know. And I'm definitely at the stage with Strictly where I'm guessing what the celebrity is.
Sure.
I didn't know who the Marquis de Posh Lady was. And I don't know who, if someone says they're from CBBC, I don't, you know, I have to guess.
Actually, it's difficult.
Are they a YouTuber? I don't know.
You know they're soap actors, but you sort of go, I wouldn't know what soap that is.
So with
him,
I missed entirely what he was. So I'm like, is he a football manager? Is he? I'm sure, maybe he's another comedian, but they've got one already. And he looks very worried. It was quite fun speculating. Like, who is he? He's not an actor because he's not. He really looks frightened.
No, they showed him in a bit of the opening video where they showed him in a kitchen. It was his kitchen.
Yeah.
It's the biggest kitchen I've ever seen in my life. And he is quite small.
They pay men very well at the beach.
Well, they do. They do. You know, look, he's small, and so the kitchen was even bigger. And this got me thinking:
small man, big kitchen.
You know what they say about small men, eh? Huge kitchens, massive
kitchen.
Really big, really well stocked.
Wow.
But the thing I noticed about it is I thought, why is it that small people don't get charged more for stuff? Because proportionally, right, they're getting more. You should be paying more.
I'm so just going to stare at you till you finish this tangent because I'm really interested.
What I'm saying is this country will never be great again.
Yeah, but isn't
until the small are made to pay their small way.
Isn't the deal that all celebrities are much smaller than you think in real life? Mm. As again, we've worked on television programmes. When you meet famous people, they're always much smaller than you think.
Mike,
because they look beautiful on camera.
Mike Bushell is about the size of a pineapple.
You can fit in your eye. Yeah. He sleeps in an acorn.
He does. They dance to Gwen Stefani's What You Waiting For. And every time I hear What You Waiting For by Gwen Stefani, I think to myself, yes, we don't talk enough about how this is one of the great songs of all time.
There's a reason for that.
I love it. I always hear it and I go, this is oddly one of those songs from someone who didn't have a career, I think, where you'd go, I can name five of their songs. But I think you hear that one and you go, that takes you straight back to 2005. I don't know what else was in the charts at that time. That song has weirdly stood the test of time.
I will no-and you. The whole, it was just mad though, wasn't it?
Because
she was Alice in Wonderland, he was a rabbit.
Yep.
They did some good TikTok arm stuff. That was fun.
Yeah, that was good.
That felt like kind of local panto. Ooh.
It did. He is absolutely what you imagine if you went to a local panto, you would see him doing exactly that.
Yeah, like the Lord Mayor's assistant. Oh, he's good, isn't he?
I think afterwards you'd be sort of going, was it all right? You're going, nah, it's crap, but I mean, you know, a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And that's what he is. And
he's crap but a bit of fun.
I was watching the actual dance itself and I thought, oddly, if this was a video by an avant-garde artist where he dressed as a nervous-looking rabbit and he was dancing with a Siberian woman who dressed as Alice in Wonderland and they were doing a dance that no one was enjoying, I would go, oh, I love that. That was really funny.
What was that video with the sad bee from the 90s? Oh, God, I want to say Mud Honey. No, it was Smashing Pumpkins. Smashing Pumpkins, I think it was. And the whole video was just a sad girl dressed as a bee.
Oh,
and then
yes.
At the end of the video, there's loads of people all dressed like bees and she's found her tribe. And she's not lonely
anymore.
I think
you might be right.
So there was a touch of that. Yeah, you're right. It would be if you fed it through like a kind of like a VHS grainy filter, as like it was found footage.
Yeah, absolutely. If a man looking back over his life and remembering all the things that had gone terribly, embarrassingly, excruciatingly wrong. Shirley said to him at the end, she went, wonderful. She said, now you had no gimmicks. Look, Shirley, he is dressed as a rabbit with a clock painted on his face. That is a gimmick. It's funny, when you were saying you didn't know sort of what he did, I think afterwards when he did his interview, he talked in a weird house style of BBC Breakfast, where they got up and they sort of went, oh, so how was that? And he was like, well, yeah, no, it was very enjoyable. And we really got out there and we had a great time, actually. And it's a really odd thing where I was sort of going, they talk in their own way on Breakfast. I could really sort of pinpoint that. That sounded
breakfast
very
voice.
Much, yeah, that Nagamon Chetty, Dan Walker, sort of, oh, yeah, very good, yeah. No, very nice to see you. And he
neutral,
was doing
remain
that.
Neutral. Do not have an opinion. Go, oh, my God, did I just have an opinion? Oh, I'm so sorry. It was love. Everything's lovely here.
Next dance was Karim and Amy. They did a paso to a theme of Stranger Things. They did a little parody video and a setup of what
God,
Stranger Things were.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God that Netflix made Stranger Things and not the BBC, if that was a bit of a promo of how it would have looked.
I felt very, very uncomfortable that the BBC, who I love, were talking about a Netflix programme. It just made me feel really sad. And it had that, you know, when you see a seagull eating a chicken bone and you're just like, there's some cannibalism going on here. It just, I know they need to eat, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt watching some people go. It tell you what Stranger Things is, because I guarantee the Strictly audience, and again, we've worked on light end shows where you have to pitch ideas all the time, and I know there's a producer sitting there somewhere going like, no one watches Stranger Things, and someone else goes, 8 billion people watch Stranger Things.
It will have been the younger members of the team will have said, a Stranger Things would be great. Look, it's huge, it's been this thing, and they will have had to convince that producer by showing them things like fans dressed as the Stranger Things, because they will go, oh, no one's heard of this Stranger thing.
What is Gaza? What is Stranger Things?
And net flick.
Yeah.
And a flick on the net.
Do you know what, though? I think they're right. They felt they had to work so hard to explain what Stranger Things was. And then they only did sort of series one.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't think there's a crossover.
But the other thing, of course, is, like, Stranger Things is a little bit of a mishmash of all the 80s tropes
don't
of...
Don't get me started.
But that's all you needed. If you'd have watched that, you'd have gone, oh, yeah, it's one of those. It's a bit like one of those films I can recognise. I thought this was the best dance in the show. I have no idea why the judges did a, oh, it's too fast. They've been saying this for weeks, but I still think that what they did, you know, the room just exploded.
He's a great dancer.
He is
a
great dancer.
I mean, I know he's on CBBC and he's, yeah, he's just got moves.
Yeah,
if you saw him in a club just having fun to a bit of Beyonce or something, you'd be like, yeah, he's a legend. I like him.
Yeah. They've got a slight thing of saying, you do everything too fast, so we've never seen you do it slow. But the problem is, if you do it fast and you can do it, then you can't sort of go, it's not what I wanted to see. I wanted to see something slightly different. That's not up to you. They've decided to do it fast.
And they did it to Small Town Boy by Busky Beat.
I know.
A song about homophobia.
I know.
And running away from a small town because you can't deal with the homophobia anymore.
Small Town Boy is one of my favourite songs of all time.
Everyone can relate. Everyone who grew up in a small town loves Small Town Boy.
Huge.
It's the Let It Go from Frozen of songs about homophobia from the 80s.
Isn't it?
Electronica.
I mean, that's singers. When they come in and they go, what are the songs for this week? Yeah. And they go, nothing. You're going to be doing a Jimmy Somerville one? And you must go, oh,
run
God,
away,
no.
Run away.
How can you do it? But they actually, I mean, in fairness, it sounded really good. It looked amazing.
Do you know what?
The
it did good. And the running theme of the song
was
perfect for their high energy. Yeah.
Yeah, entirely. And you know, it worked well with the Stranger Things. That bit of running on your bikes, that seems to be an iconic sort of image that I get when I think of Stranger Things. I thought it was really well done.
I'm going to sidebar on Stranger Things, but to me, it's just like being stuck in a pub with someone remembering the 80s very loudly in your face. Do you remember Spielberg? Remember Jaws? Do you remember E.T.? Do you remember The Thing? Yes, I do. Well, stop shouting at me. I can just remember them in my own time. Thanks very much.
The other thing I actually really loved about this dance was the fact that they were wearing normal clothes.
Yeah.
And too often in Strictly, they're very much like, we have to wear a costume to do a dance. We're a bullfighter. We're a matador. Even normal dancing clothes of sort of suits and ridiculous dresses that actually in any other context, if you turned up wearing a ballroom dress to a lot of things, people would just go, have you lost your mind? The thing I really liked about that was it's dance in normal clothes. Mm-hmm. And it's that thing of saying you don't need to have a load of, you know, you don't have to have a fancy dress to do this. You can just dance. Mm. And it's a rare thing on Strictly where you just get that thing where the artifice falls and you go, oh, yes, this reminds me that things like contemporary dance are not what you do here. But contemporary dance is really good and I'd probably enjoy it a lot more.
Mm.
That was just a nice sort of hint that you don't need for it to feel like it's got a foot in the late 60s, early 70s for it to work on screen. I thought it was... I love this dance.
I think if you're choosing between, Small Town Boy and, like, Monster Mash,
go
for Small Town Boy, because that's fun.
Yeah, entirely. They got 29, 3 sevens and an 8, which I thought was undermarked. Catherine and Johannes were next, doing their cha-cha. Again, you know, we've talked about them going out, which I think is a terrible shocker. But I think like their makeup, they just were not fully invested within the dancing. I think they cruised a little bit. I think Johannes was working hard, but Catherine Tilsley just seemed to sort of cruise through.
I'm literally trying to remember it now. Isn't that terrible?
It was. Do you know what? It was instantly forgettable. He was wearing a dark sort of velvety jacket and he had dark eyes and she was just wearing a sort of like burnt umber dress which was in tatters but didn't look like it was rotten. Right. It just looked like that
fresh
was a style.
Fresh out the bag from Smithies.
I mean, I noticed, I look at my notes and they got 2 sixes, a 5 and a 7. And I look at my notes there and I haven't written one thing about the dance. I've written about the costumes. Yeah. I've sort of gone, it's a bit half-arsed. It was completely forgettable. You know, people think it has to be bad for you to go out.
Mm.
And actually, bad can get you sympathy.
Yeah.
Half-arsed, just nothingness, just vapour. That's the thing that is really...
What a fabulous showbiz metaphor that is.
It explains a lot of careers. Then we had Michelle Visage and Giovanni doing a foxtrot. Sometimes Strictly is seen as being a very silly show. It's cheesy. It's, you know, light entertainment at its lightest. And then other moments, you get those bits where you go, that is as good a moment as you see on mainstream TV at any time.
So I am a huge fan of Michelle Visage. Mm. I've been watching Drag Race long before anyone listening to this, with the exception of the people who work on the show. I've been watching Drag Race for a million years, and she's just an amazing human being. And do you know what? This is a really good example of why there should be more grown-ups on telly.
100%.
She is amazing. She's so inspirational. She's a force of nature. She's so good at telly because she's been doing it for 1,000 years in America in this reality show that got started off very small, got bigger. And she's literally, even in the backstage chat, she's directing sort of going like, nice chat, guys, and moving people around, getting their best light. The bit that killed me was when they went to the cinema to watch a bit of Adam's Family Value, and she's explaining why Angelica Houston's key light on her face through the whole thing. You're like, yeah, that is an observation that the world needs to know about.
She said
she's
one line about that
to the people.
She said, oh, you know, we're going to see my favourite film, Adam's Family Values.
Yeah.
And when you say that, you kind of go, everyone says, whatever they do that week, we're going to see my favourite, we're going to eat my favourite meal, whatever it is. It's always that.
Yeah.
And she then, Michelle Visage, you know, Morticia Adams appears on the screen. Mm. She just leans over to Giovanni and she just said, she's a dark goddess. And you sort of go, God, this is your favourite film. Because you understand that on a level that you go, wow, I'll never forget that phrase. That's exactly what Morticia Adams is.
Yeah, no one will ever watch that film now if they didn't know already that there is a key light permanently pointing at Angelica Houston's eyes, which is why she looks as amazing as she does.
Yeah.
And Michelle Visage knows that because she's been working with drag queens for 1,000 years. I mean, if you ever need proof that women can be drag, Michelle Visage is a drag queen.
Every single thing she says is good. None of it is filler. None of it is padding. And she's so sort of laser focused. She's also one of the only people who doesn't do those silly backstage things where she's going, well, you know, I'm a ghost. Instead, she'll go, I really want to win.
She makes a really cool choice as well, and it's so smart. When she's doing her behind the scenes bit, she's got no makeup on.
Yeah.
But she does, like, she's obviously got loads of makeup on and she's got lip gloss on, but she looks sort of sweaty and off duty and oh, this is the real me. And then you see her dancing and she's got this amazing pan stick on. The other girls are always putting on loads of makeup and stuff. She knows that what you want is that transformation moment.
Yes,
so she's
entirely.
Got straggly hair. Again, it's so drag. It's perfect. And she's such an inspiration. And my God. It was weird watching that dance. I was like, please explain to me now, Mark, because you know the show.
Mm.
Why did they not do a tango when Morticia and Gomez are famous for their tango?
Well, that's the problem. There is the production team will tell you what dance you have to do, and you have them all in orders.
And has she tangoed before?
Yes, I think she tangoed very, very early on.
Okay, that's a shame. Because it was an amazing dance, but it was done like it looked like a tango, but it was not a tango. Her little feet just like scuttling away.
I think the big thing they have is they didn't know how good she was going to be.
Right.
And so I think there are, had you backtracked it, you would have given her the tango that night. It didn't matter for her in a way. It was a foxtrot. Giovanni had adapted it in such a way that they were dancing a foxtrot that looked very much like a tango while still retaining all of the features of a foxtrot.
Yeah, it was technical. It was technical. It was like the Olympics where there's like, you're sort of sitting there going like, oh, they've ticked that box and ticked that box. And they're joined at the crotch, like velcroed together like a tango. Very sexy.
They did something that not a lot of the other couples could do, which is they can retain that sort of sexuality at the heart of the Addams Family. They are one of the few couples who have a simmering sexuality that they can bring to their dance.
Yeah, it's going back to that thing of there being grown-ups on the thing. Like, she's a woman in her 50s. I don't know anything about this guy. They clearly have worked incredibly hard together, have a massive amount of respect and liking for each other. If you told me they were, I was going to say a rude word, if you told me they were cuddling off camera, I'd be delighted for them.
Yeah.
But I also know they're probably just actors who are professionals who were doing their very best job. And I love, that was a really good bit actually when Claudia was watching the two of them like again velcroed at the crotch, jumping up and down screaming in heaven because of their amazing scores.
Yeah.
And she just goes, so Michelle, what do you think your husband's doing right now? And Michelle just went, weeping his eyes out. And you're like, yeah, she's fine, there is no dramas.
My
like
absolute
she's
favorite
51 years old woman, no dramas.
My favourite Michelle Visage this week, which was so good, was Tess just said to her as she came over finishing her thing, she went, well, last week you got your lowest score, and Michelle Visage just went, good chat. Now the judges went mad for it. They should have done, everything was right. This is she got a 39, a 9 and 3 tens, and she is really early on. I think, you know, we were saying she could be the dark horse in this competition. I think she's becoming not really a dark horse anymore. I think she's guaranteed to make the final. I think she could easily win this. I think she's doing an astonishingly good job.
Absolutely. No, if you, I mean, again, if you watch Drag Race, her whole thing is that she critiques drag queens to make them better. So it's performance, it's aesthetic, it's attitude, it's confidence, it's faking confidence when you don't have it. It's making dollars worth of clothes look like $1 million because of how you carry yourself. And all of that is there. Because Strictly is so camp.
It is.
And it's so, you know, I mean, all of the aesthetics of that are there.
There's a lot of crossover, really, between the last That Dance that we saw and Kelvin and Oti, who came next. And they did get to do a tango. They got 4 9s, 36 marks. And basically, there was a point where Kelvin had actually made a mistake with his footwork. And that was the thing that cost them. Yeah. So I think they could have easily got the 40. But this made it exciting. And I was really pleased that Michelle Visage, you know, didn't have that crown taken away from her within moments.
Yeah.
They danced to Billie Eilish doing Bad Guy.
A cool young person I've heard of.
I know.
I was so happy.
When it comes on, all I do is I sit there and say to everyone, do you know what this song is? Do you know what this song is?
My six-year-old really likes Billie Eilish. That's why I know Billie Eilish.
I am delighted to see
so
this.
Yeah.
Enter the horror song pantheon this
yes,
early. You know,
yes.
all of her stuff is a bit bonesy and a bit sort of
bury
stripped
a friend,
back.
Yeah. Bury a friend. But yeah, this is such a great one.
And they were fantastic. Now there was a lovely bit where they had Kelvin just with the camera, where Tess does a sort of, in a moment Kelvin's going to be dancing, get something to, I can't even remember what the joke was, but I imagine it was get your teeth into. And they had him made up like a vampire, like a sexy vampire. And at the last minute, someone had gone, we need to get him fangs. So can you go to the newsagent and get a 15p pair of kids' fangs?
He could have come in with some, like, foam teeth. We couldn't get any foam teeth, but we have got you, like, a prawn, like a shrimp. Can you hold that?
Can you just do two refreshers under your gum? It looks strange. It's not vampire.
Yeah.
I mean, this was really good. And there's a bit in it that I loved so much. But there was a part where Oti held Kelvin by the leg and he just sort of floated forward. And I'm a huge fan of them using, I think, those traditionally the moves that you would make a female dancer do. I love seeing the role reversals. We were very, very keen on Alex Scott stopping trying to be flirty girly, which is what they do with everyone. And we wanted her to be put in a suit and stick her dance partner in a cocktail dress and just let her lead. She's a sportswoman. She seems to be happier in pole position, being the master of her own destiny.
Well, when we get onto her, my God,
And I think, you know, what you could see with this Kelvin one is you have a, you know, it's great watching. Oti Mabuse is one of the real breakout stars of this year's series. And what they're showing there is they're showing a young woman who is entirely in charge. And when they show her in the training things, they never hold back from going, she is a relentless improver of people. She is fierce and she is strong and she is, you know, hard. She's just become, I think, the most famous dancer on the thing. And she's done that by a combination of being delightful, and whenever they show her she is so serious and everyone is terrified of her because she's such a sort of like strong, you've got to get better, you've got to do harder, that I think she's actually made herself like a really viable celebrity.
Yeah.
And I think
this is my big question. What's going to happen when someone gets famous enough to be a guest? I guess you wouldn't be bad enough at dancing, but that occurred to me this morning and I was like, oh no, is it a Mobius loop where you get famous enough on Strictly to be, and you could, oh my God, no, you wouldn't be allowed, would you?
No.
But they should eventually do one where there is dancers.
Do you know what? Yeah. There is very much a thing about what has happened to the old dancers. There is a sense of, I think when they go, they really go, and they don't like dancers getting above their station.
Right. Shoot them in the head as they leave. There was a very... you've reminded me that move, as you say, when she picked his leg up.
Yeah.
And he is clearly... The thing that was really sexy about it for me is that that's what you can do when you've got a strong core. He clearly does a bit of yoga, a bit of Pilates, like girls' exercises that actually make you really strong and bendy. And I loved that. I was like...
I did write down on it...
Genderqueer Strictly!
I did write down in it, genuinely sex.
Yeah.
That was the one thing it is funny about the sexual element of Kelvin is he does not react well when they begin frothing him over him in the judging.
Tell me why he's famous.
He is an actor on Emmerdale.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, he was also brought in as a last minute replacement for an injured Jamie Lang from Chelsea, which I thought would be a disaster. You know, bringing in this unknown soap actor. He turns out to be the best dancer in the world. Jamie Lang has very much disappeared from the audience now since this monster dynamo has replaced him. Bruno was sort of, you know, he's going, oh, he's bad, but so good. And Shirley will fan herself, like, you know, she's properly going through the change just at the sight of him. And he just sits there looking a bit like, you know, when you see those awful dramas about sort of, you know, rural boarding schools where there's a teacher who's a wrong'un, you cut back to the 11-year-old boy sort of looking nervous as the door shuts. Yeah. Kelvin has the look of the 11-year-old boy every time they start up, just going, ugh,
a young Patrick Melrose is what you're saying. Oh, my God. It's got really dark.
Yeah. He looks every time it's sad, when it's over, I always sit there and say, please just say to him, you did very well, Kelvin. And he'll go, yeah. Oh, I've done very well.
Yeah, but please stop sexualizing me.
What are you doing to us? Yeah. He goes, oh, crikey.
Oh, not a dry seat in the house, Kelvin.
I was doing my dance. Yeah. I didn't mean to cause any problems. It is. Motsy also still calls him Kevin throughout the whole thing. She says, Kevin, you dance so well. Now, her sister is dancing with Kelvin. And I can't believe that she hasn't come forward and said, you've got to get his name right. It's Kelvin, not Kevin.
Yeah.
And then finally, we have our final dance, Alex Scott and Kevin Clifton. And Kevin Clifton was replacing Neil Jones, who had injured himself.
This was such drama. I loved it. I was so into this. Like
another tearjerker video for Alex. They're trying very hard to salvage Alex, having had her start off very, very anonymously and really underperforming. Mm. She was the bookie's favourite when this before it started. They have now started doing slight tearjerker X Factor videos with her, where she will talk about her youth, brought up by a single mum on her own in the East End of London.
I think I recognise that football picture they were filming. I think I used to live near there.
They showed her charity work and getting an MBE and stuff, and there's lots and lots of tears. They had then the injury to Neil, and they had 45 minutes for Kevin Clifton to step in. And that is like a horrible dream. If you ever dream about being on Strictly Come Dancing and it turns in your head, it would be them going, your dance partner's not turned up, but you're going to have to go on. We're going live on BBC One in 45 minutes in front of the nation. And you're dressed as a Ghostbuster and going, but where's the other one? Yeah. Where's the man?
He's done the teaching.
Oh, my. That just seems to me like a panic dream beyond belief.
It was beautiful. I think there are certain people in life who respond so well to unexpected, having to step up for other people, which is what she did. As soon as she realised she had to teach him the dance, you could see the steel core in her where she's like, oh, she's probably a bit nervous. She's probably
the
very nervous.
The pupil has become the master.
Exactly. But I think some people really are good at that. Like if they're a bit nervous and then someone else is more nervous, they sort of shed that skin of nervous because they suddenly start caring about other people more than they care about themselves.
Yeah.
And that was so cool the way, and again, probably wouldn't have worked if she'd been wearing a little tiny spangly ball gown and been doing a little kind of cutie, because she's in a boiler suit, a sexy boiler suit. She's in a boiler suit with a proton pack and nerd glasses and bunchies, and she looks stupid and brilliant.
Yeah.
And then so she's, you literally see her like dragging him around like and he's good. He's good. And they're so needy for each other, the eyes locked the whole time, mouthing things at each other. The urgency of it was so cool.
It was a really great moment for her. I thought this as a dance was okay. She was doing
it was very busy. Lying on the floor, doing little runs.
Yeah,
the lying on the floor thing,
I'm not sure is a thing I'd like to see more of. I think it's a little bit of a cheesy gimmick, and I think it looks bad.
And the judges can't see it. Yeah,
no.
The judges don't know what's going on.
You can't see it in the room. You'd just be like, are they okay?
Just laying down for a wiggle.
It was amazing, and they both had an aneurysm at the same time. But she obviously did really well. Mm. They overmarked this because they were like, we've got out of a scrape. It was a 7 3/9. But it was good fun. I thought she looked iconically great.
She looked brilliant in her off-brand, legally dissimilar spook blasters.
She said, oh, I've never dressed up for Halloween. And I thought, I don't think it stops there. I don't think you've probably heard of Ghostbusters until quite recently.
Yeah.
She's a sportswoman. They have no interest in modern life and culture.
I think it deserved the point for just being a great bit of telly, which is what this show is. It was just... It was Phoenix from the Ashes. It was really cool. And as such,
there's no point the judges coming in and going, do you know what, it was okay, we'll give you a 6. Don't ruin the moment, just go 9. Great fun.
Yeah.
They did a little bit as well where they did the little known cousin of the high five, which was where they high fived each other's ankles. I don't know if you saw
I love that.
They went high five, and then they went, and now high five your ankle. I loved that.
The bit that gave me pure anxiety and then paid off, so I was fine. It was like a roller coaster, was when they were both holding their proton packs and they, but without looking, had to put it back in their holster behind them, between their shoulder blades. And they did it seamlessly, and I was like, oh.
It did because of the costumes being knockoff and because of it being a little bit wild and a little bit sort of, it did feel like the end of a indie film about a girl putting on a thing for a prom where she went as a Ghostbuster.
And everyone else was in a cocktail dress and she felt sad. And they actually saved the day. It was very Romeo and Michelle. Oh my God, it was Romeo and Michelle.
Yeah, and then out comes Kevin Clifton and he's also got a knockoff Ghostbuster thing on and he strides over and she just goes, just follow my lead.
Yeah.
And it was magic.
Yes, it's every dance form or every, when they just like, they look to the band behind them and just go, you guys just follow me, you're all on C now, and they all magically know how to do the thing.
Yeah, I thought it was, she obviously, oddly, as you say, the pressure seemed to, you know, like how diamonds are formed under pressure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she
but
was
that's
totally
if you're
like
an
that.
Actual lioness and you're suddenly being, you're so used to working in a team and just like reading people's minds and stuff like that kind of being suddenly being told everything you prepared for, you've turned up to school with no pants on, it's that dream.
Yeah.
You can see how that would make her stronger and harder.
It would have been great if Emma Weymouth, because she's a lioness, had run out then and shot her. Buried her at Longleat. That was Strictly. That was
what a roller coaster. What a great first episode for me to come in on.
Yeah.
It's never this exciting, is it?
No. Yeah. And actually, I think we're up for a couple of quite boring weeks coming up.
Okay, maybe they'll all start having sex with each other.
There's a lull.
Yeah, we've had a bloodbath now. Now it's time for a little, you know, in storytelling, you definitely want a bit of romance at this point. Definitely.
Sarah, thank you very, very much
for coming in.
And we hope you've enjoyed. Please do follow us on Twitter. Julia normally says what the addresses are. So all I'll do is I'll put them in the description and you can follow it there. That looks really sexist and mad. Your podcast, The Fear, people should go and listen. Who's your last guest that you had on?
So the last one I did was in York. It was a live show. It was with Danielle Ward and David Reed. Mm-hmm. Before that, I had Michael Lee Richardson, BAFTA winning writer, Tom Neenan, Andy Nyman. That's all just series one.
Great.
There's a great load more coming up for the rest of this series, including Vicky Pepperdine.
Nice.
Joni Jerica, and a bunch of the really cool comics. If you don't know who they are, you soon will, and they're brilliant. And yeah, go and have a look in the archive. There's like four series of it now.
Amazing. So that's The Fear with Sarah Morgan. Get down. Until next time, Sarah, we do have two little things. We have we have a catchphrase, which is, I would normally shout hot sauce. I think it's only polite for a guest to be able to just say the phrase hot sauce so that we can make sure we tick it off the day's
okay,
list.
It's not like a slur or anything.
No.
You're not tricking me.
No,
okay.
No.
Hot sauce.
There you go. That's perfect. And we have a little phrase as well. You're more than welcome to do it, where I just go, listening, liking, subscribing, going on the Twitter and this and that. So I've done it
and
now.
Dancing.
No, never dancing.
Never dancing.
Bye.
Happy Halloween. Bye.
My name's Pete Allison.
And I'm Dave Cribb, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends.
Each week we invite a guest on, ask them to pick their favourite episode of Friends, and then we talk about it in far too much detail.
Basically, if you like the show Friends, and you like it when people take things far too seriously, then you might well like this podcast. Search Great Big Owl on your podcast app of choice, and you'll find Friends with Friends right there.
Great Big Owl.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.